We'll save that for another time. So we're here with our favorite Manziel, Haley Manziel, Dog Nation. What's up?
Well, it's funny you say that because I was talking to my dad on Sunday before this all started, and he said, who do you think that SEC podcast will want to interview first, me or you? And I said, well, hopefully you, if it goes by the rule that we're saving the best for last. And so I guess that's the way that things played out.
You know, I think we met you first here 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I think you were just with Dad at the time. Mm-hmm. So you've kind of come full circle now.
Yeah, I actually think it was like somewhere over there. Mm-hmm. I came for the last day. Georgia wasn't even speaking that day. I just came to get a lay of the land, see the type of reporters or questions that reporters asked. I think the one thing that I remember most about that day, apart from meeting you guys, was listening to how fast Jimbo Fisher talked. I felt so bad for everybody on the Texas A&M beat, and I thought, if every coach talks like this, like maybe I'm dipping my foot into the wrong pond.
Yeah, really bad. What they do is they transcribe his comments, too. The person has to transcribe that.
I know.
They were probably the happiest when he got fired. You know what?
To go from me out of Elko, I think that was a breath of fresh air.
What's your favorite thing about covering media days?
Honestly, I think it's more so about being in a room with a bunch of people that are passionate about the same thing. Like, I love listening to the coaches and the players talk, but I think it's all the things that go on behind the scenes is why I feel like I thrive in an environment like this. Because, like, I don't get to see you guys that often, but I know when I come here, I get to see y'all. And I feel like I get little glimpses of information about other teams just from walking down Radio Row, and I wouldn't have access to that just on a normal day. So it's really just about being in a room with people who care about the same thing.
I gotta ask, you know, there's been a lot of crazy crowds this week. We saw the Pavia crowd, we saw the Arch Manning mania, I think Mike dubbed it, but we didn't get a lot of crowd action with the Georgia Bulldogs. Do you feel like this is a team, and it's crazy to say they won the SEC championship, but is this a team that maybe isn't getting the respect they deserve going into this season?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. This team is very different than what we've seen in past years. I think as opposed to last year, we think about Carson Beck was the celebrity quarterback of the team, so there was a lot of attention on him, similar to Diego Pavia or an Arch Manning. But with Georgia, there's not one particular person you could point to and say that person's going to be the NFL first-round draft pick. There's maybe not a great guy, but there's a bunch of really good guys. I think my theme for this entire season has been the expectation is no expectations because, I mean, truthfully, and I'm sure anybody on the Georgia beat can speak to this too, we don't know that much about this team. And I think Kirby Smart said yesterday it was like 54% of players are in their first year, their second year, which isn't really a number that jumps off the page. But when you kind of narrow in on those second year guys, I mean, they hardly got the opportunity to play last year, which is so different from Georgia teams of the past. Georgia just had so many close games. So a lot of these guys that are going into their second year and are having to step in, into starting spots or contribute a lot, a lot of what we're going based off of is speculation and recruiting rankings. Wow. So I don't know if it's a lack of respect as more as it is a lack of familiarity with the guys that are on the team.
And then I know everybody likes, they try to make it about Gunnar Stockton, right? So Gunnar Stockton, can he be the guy? That's like a huge question, not just Georgia, but at Alabama, maybe at Texas if you're not buying an Arch. But how does it open up for the rest of the Georgia offense with Gunnar as the quarterback? Because I still can't believe as good. I know there's people that will talk bad about Carson Beck, but the offense kind of was Carson Beck last year, and Georgia finished 15th in the SEC in rushing. I still can't believe that Kirby allowed that to happen. But again, it makes sense because you had Beck, because you know he had this awesome arm, but I can't imagine that they're anywhere close to 15th in rushing in the SEC again this year.
Oh, no, and I definitely think that amongst the skill players, pass catchers, and running backs alike, there were a lot of issues that needed to be addressed in the offseason, and Georgia went out of their way to do that. I think that they understand that Gunnar is not necessarily like Carson in the sense that one play or one drive can change the course of the whole game, but I think also one thing that Gunnar can bring to the table is knowing that he has better guys around him to ultimately better his performance too. I think there were a lot of moments where Carson Beck felt like, I have to put this all on myself because I am that guy. And I think that Gunnar is more selfless in the sense that he knows that, hey, maybe things aren't going my way. I've got good running backs behind me that I can trust. And when it comes to the running backs specifically too, I mean, you throw out that number and I'm still disgusted by the fact that Georgia was that low in the SEC for rushing, especially after they brought in Trevor Etienne. But I'm really confident in what Nate Frazier is going to bring, especially year two. He is one of those guys that does have more experience of that group. But also getting Josh McCray from Illinois just to stack up that room, because there has been a lot of injury in the past with Georgia running back. So I think what Georgia is going to really focusing on this year is getting back to the basics and fundamentals with the running back. And with Gunner, like, think about him is he doesn't have to be Arch Manning. He doesn't have to be a Heisman winner. Like, think about what Will Howard did at Ohio State last year. He wasn't the big, shiny, flashy quarterback, but he minimalized the mistakes, relied on the talent around him. So I think that if Gunner follows that same track, then who knows? Maybe the standard will continue to be the standard.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one disgusted with Georgia's running attack last year.
Oh, God, it was so bad.
God. Well, I mean, we dubbed it RBU there for a while, and then it just kind of disappeared. So, yeah, I want to ask something that was leading the news last year this time was a different type of driving. It was fast driving and tickets and pulled over. And honestly, you want to talk about turning the leaf. We had a Texas A&M guy get arrested, but we're not hearing that from Georgia right now. What are they doing behind the scenes here to kind of have – is this more of a leadership thing, or are they doing something in specific?
Well, there's two guys that come to mind that I'm pretty sure were voluntold that you have to leave. The punishment now is much bigger for getting in trouble, and I think that was the issue for so long was that it wasn't – a slap on the wrist. Like, obviously there's more behind the scenes that we didn't know about, but now understanding that the punishment is you're not going to be a part of this team, like, that gives you something more to play for. And I think maybe my dad also talked about this, like, having the picture up on your car of the people that you're playing for. So tying that back into personal things, but I almost am like kind of scared to even talk about this because I feel like I'm jinxing it or putting bad energy into the air that we're going to have this conversation and then tomorrow news is going to drop. But I will say it is very refreshing to not have to worry about waking up one day and going to work and thinking, like, is something bad going to happen today? And it allows just more for us to focus on football, and that's ultimately what I came to this job to do.
And we'll drop this clip if it happens. So
please put it in there that I did not want to say it out loud for the football gods to hear. Because it was rough for a while.
Hey, we just had a Texas guy on, and he said this is 2 years. I know it's not signing day, hasn't happened yet, but 2 years in a row where Texas comes into Georgia, and depending on the recruiting rankings that you're looking at, gets the best player. That can't be sitting well with Kirby and company.
Oh, definitely not. Now, the good thing is Georgia does have options. A program like that, if something doesn't go your way, there's always going to be someone else. And I was at the Justice Terry commitment last year when that happened, and there was nobody who was more surprised than me. I mean, he had on a black custom Louis Vuitton suit that had red lining on the outside of it. So when that happened, that was my first, oh my gosh, it might not always go Georgia's way moment. And with the Tyler Atkinson stuff and everything, it was always a really close race. And it's one of those things you hear, if you don't know it's you, then it's not you. And so when Tyler Atkinson announced that he was going to commit, I knew it wasn't Georgia because we have not had any information that it was. The problem is now people look at this as, are Georgia and Texas rivals? I don't really view them to be rivals on the field currently at the moment, just based on the wins and losses from last year, but definitely along the recruiting trail this year, we've seen it more and more. So, Kirby Smart's the kind of person that he'll tell you that it doesn't get to him. He doesn't think about it all that much, but there's definitely a fire that's lighting inside of him, and Georgia, things will come back their way. So I feel good about the options that they have in place of the Tyler Atkinsons and the James Johnsons of the world.
Yeah, we cannot wait for the locker room to leak again so we can see exactly how Kirby feels about it. Look, if Kirby were here and we gave him true serum, in your opinion, and this is your opinion, not Kirby's,
okay,
if you were to rank the three games that he wants to get the most this season, most important to him, what do you think those would be?
I know this sounds crazy. I think number one actually always starts with Georgia Tech, which it's not one of those big gauntlet home games that Georgia's going to have. But there is no person that is open about how much they hate the University of Georgia apart from Brent Key. And last year it looks like Georgia Tech should have gotten ahead of that. And so I think that's one game that's always on his mind. So I think it starts with clean old-fashioned hate always. When it came to the Ole Miss stuff, I guess somebody asked Kirby yesterday if this was a game about vengeance now, and he said that he didn't believe in vengeance. And I was like, I don't believe in anything that you just said, especially with the relationship that him and Lane have. I definitely think that that's one that he wants to get back, because that was a game that I felt really confident going into. So I imagine Kirby felt that same way. So let's go Georgia Tech, Ole Miss, and then, I mean, it has to be Alabama, right? Like, you have to slay the dragon. If it's not now, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. And you've been waiting for this game to be in Sanford Stadium for so long now. So, I mean, those are the three that really come to mind. But I do want to say this, because I said if I had the opportunity to talk about it, I will, and it feels like it kind of fits in here. We've talked about the gauntlet home schedule between Alabama, Texas, and Ole Miss. But the games that actually worry me the most are the rivalries that Georgia has been on top of recently, and it feels like somebody's due up for one, like a Tennessee or an Auburn or a Florida or even a Georgia Tech. So just based on statistics, somebody's bound to get one at some point. So I think every game is really important for Kirby Smart, but I think that those are the games they can't let get behind them because of the recent success that they've had.
You mentioned Alabama. How bad did Dog Nation's heart skip a beat when there was speculation the other day Nick Saban could be returning? I mean, that's got to be like, oh my goodness. I don't think it's going to happen. Obviously, that's already been backtracked. But
yes,
when that came out, I would think at the top of the list is maybe Tennessee fans, but Georgia fans nervous.
I mean, honestly, I think I can only speak to what our audience said and thought, and I think that most people knew right off the bat that it probably wasn't going to happen. I actually tried to put myself in Kirby Smart's shoes when that news dropped, and I bet he's thinking, this is absolute gold for me. Now the attention's off me. It's off all the other coaches. Everybody on Media Days isn't talking about what's happening here. They're talking about Nick Saban coming back, but I actually think there's no person that I feel worse for in this situation than Kalen DeBoer, because last year, anytime things started going wrong, well, this isn't the Nick Saban way. This isn't the Alabama way. And now that you have Nick Saban as even a quote-unquote option, when things go wrong for Alabama this year, if they do, everybody's going to be chanting for Nick Saban. Think about, you know how programs now, they go on the downhill, and then everybody's like, we need Lane Kiffin to come in and save our program. That's going to be Nick Saban this year. When things go wrong for all these programs, they're like, we want Nick Saban.
Oh, yeah. And to your point, they have a big, I think it's called the Regions Tournament. It's like a golf thing that all the coaches go to. Kirby goes to it. This year, they had it. Saban was there. DeBoer was there. DeBoer got on Feinbaum. They gave him 2 minutes. Then they saw Nick Saban. They said, Nick Saban's ready.
Yeah.
Took DeBoer off the set for Nick Saban, the active Alabama coach for the old one. I mean, that guy's he'll never shake that.
No, he won't. And you know, when I just think about the message boards, I mean, comments, I can only imagine what he's hearing in his little bubble as well. And, you know, nobody does it better in Dog Nation. And what's one concern that you keep? Maybe you have to keep answering or keep talking about with this Georgia football team. Kirby came out not too long ago talking about leadership. He needed some leadership to step up. Is there something that keeps popping up down there that maybe you're a little concerned about?
I think the unknown for me is the lines of scrimmage on both sides. There's a lot of turnover this year. And last year, they were at one point projected to win the Joe Moore Award, and then the offensive line ended up being one of the really weak points, or at least we thought. And then the draft happened. You have Tate Ratledge, Dylan Fairchild. They all go early, and so we're like, wait, are we missing something here? So really, they only bring back Monroe Freeling, Ernest Green, and Micah Morris, and then it's essentially all new guys. And what's usually one of the points of strength year in, year out is the offensive line, and this year there's just hardly any experience. And also, too, with the schedule that Georgia plays, I mean, the physicality in which you go up against each week, that only increases the opportunity for injury, which is something that Georgia faced a lot last year on the offensive line. So I just want to see how those second-year guys and maybe some of the transfers they brought in adapt to the SEC level and how quickly they can do it, especially when you've got a quarterback like Gunnar Stockton who is a little bit more on the mobile side. The protection's going to have to be as strong as ever, and I just don't know enough about the guys that haven't had opportunities to play yet. Are they ready? So that's the one concern for me is, can the offensive line take a step forward from last year despite losing their most talented guys?
Hey, this week, all our coverage, we're here thanks to MyBookie. They're paying our way, so we're very, very grateful to MyBookie. So we're asking everybody that comes over here,
okay,
for their MyBookie bold take for the season. Could be Georgia, could be anything SEC-related.
Ooh.
David, what's your boldest take heading into the season?
My boldest take, well, last year my bold take was that Billy Napier wasn't going to be coaching by the time that Georgia and Florida played. So maybe don't trust me always with the bold take. My bold take is Arch Manning does not make the Heisman Trophy ceremony.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They really do hate Texas down there, huh?
No, it's not even about that. You know, I'm an unbiased member of the media, for goodness sakes. It's how can you evaluate someone like that you've only seen him play so few games? I mean, we're looking at Arch like this and Gunner like this when they virtually have the same amount of experience. So I can't just go out there and say that, yeah, I mean, he's a lock, because we know why people are talking about him. And I hope that he goes out there and lives up to the expectation that everyone's placed on him, because even though he's a Manning, like, that's a lot of pressure to deal with. So you know, they've got some tough games to play, tougher than last year, that's for sure, with the way that their road schedule is. But I think there's a lot of quarterbacks out there that we're missing out on, so I don't think that Arch is a Heisman finalist.
Got a last question?
Yeah, and it's probably not one that you expected, but...
Okay, I like
but
these.
But it is quarterback-related.
Okay.
Does Gunner finish the season at Georgia? Do you think that the starting quarterback, week one, because... I heard going into this offseason that the race was a lot closer than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that if Georgia has a couple back in, and I know Kirby's not big on that, but do you think there's an option for another guy if something, I mean, or even injuries,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? How do you feel about that quarterback room beyond Gunnar Stockton?
I think that unless injury comes into play, which is now at bigger risk because Gunnar is a mobile quarterback, unless he gets injured and is forced out of the position, I see Gunnar Stockton finishing out the season, because the guy behind him, Ryan Puglisi, is an absolute gunslinger with his arm. And I think that we thought the race was a lot closer than it was until we saw Ryan Puglisi's G-Day performance. And then there was a clear separation of talent and familiarity with the guys around them. So I just don't think that Ryan Puglisi is ready. They'll definitely give him some reps in those first two games versus Marshall and Austin Peay. But, I mean, the experience that Gunner had in the SEC championship and the Sugar Bowl, even though it didn't go Georgia's way, like, that's more experience than a lot of these guys that are coming up into the SEC as quarterbacks have now. And so we know from the Jake Fromm, Justin Fields situation that Kirby Smart is very loyal to the option. So unless Gunner gets injured, I think he finishes out the season.
I'll finish on a lighter note. How about that?
Okay.
You go down to Athens, because probably the drunkest I've ever been was at a Tennessee-Georgia football game. Somebody's coming to Athens right now. Where's the one place that fan should go visit before they enter the stadium?
Okay, so I have to admit, I may not be the most qualified person to answer this, because I did not go to the University of Georgia, and I live here in Atlanta. But if I had to give some pieces of advice, do not book a hotel in Athens if you're coming to Tennessee, Georgia. It is a two-night minimum, so expensive. Stay in the suburbs. The one place that I feel like if I could only go to one bar in Athens is Polly's. It's like a crepe and cocktail bar. And then for dinner, you have to go to Chuck's Fish. It's got some things on the menu that you kind of look at and you're like, I've never heard of that in my whole life. But it's amazing. I think about it sometimes. I dream about it sometimes. So that would be my first stop, would be Chuck's Fish.
And then can you confirm or deny? I heard a rumor.
Uh-huh.
That old Rusty Manziel cooks one hell of a steak. Can you confirm or deny that?
He does. So listen, he is like the barbecue pit master dad. Growing up with him, it was either, you know, one of those weird Alaskan wild shows on, or like Barbecue Pit Masters was on. So that's just his little outside hobby that he does. So I'll give him credit for the steak. And then he doesn't do it so much anymore. But when I was growing up, he was the kind of dad that would wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to start smoking brisket. I don't know when that stopped, and I don't know why it stopped, because it was the best ever. But I do have to give him credit in the sense that he is one chef at the grill.
I think Rusty comes across as one of those guys like, I could survive in the outdoors if I
needed
100%.
To go. 100%. He'll tell you that, but what he won't tell you is that he doesn't even mow his own grass. So I'm not taking him in the Alaskan wilderness, you know? Man.
The Rusty Roast. This is my bookie.
All right, Kaylee, thank you so much. Before you go, tell our audience how to follow you and how to find your work.
Yeah, so I'm on dognation.com to watch my video specifically. I would encourage you to go to our Dog Nation YouTube page and subscribe. That way you get notifications anytime we post. And then I would say that I'm probably the funniest on Twitter, so you can follow me there at Mansell Kaylee.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
That was great.